Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm your co-host, Abdul Rashid Akbar, your guest co-host, standing in for our brother, Imam Alfred Muhammad. And I want to welcome you here to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm very pleased that you have joined us today. And I want to welcome you on behalf of Alfred Muhammad to Religion Means Alive. And I simply want to say that I want to appreciate the Imam Alfred allowing me to join you every second Monday of the month, talking about some of the top issues of the day. As you know, for what I co-host the program, my focus is on business and technology. And we'll have a guest today. She was our guest on our last program, Religion Means Alive. The audience enjoyed her so much, I invited her back. As soon as she calls in, I'll join her in on the conversation. That's our sister, Sister Furkan. But until she calls in, let me share a little information with the audience. Since I last had the to be with you, we have since last speaking with being here on the show, we have conducted our the mosque cares. Conducted the 25th annual Muslim Convention here in Tinley Park, Illinois, which is just right outside of Chicago here, where I reside. And I just want to relate to the radio audience that the convention was an enormous success. It was a fantastic convention. I would, I just want to relate to the audience that the workshops, the culture night with the entertainment, and our sister who will be calling in, I'm sure she's going to share some other insights on the culture night because she was one of the guest entertainers. But it was just enormously popular. Enormously successful, and one that I would, if you could not make it, I can tell you how you can get excerpts and see excerpts from the convention, and I'll give you that in a minute. But let me simply mention, if you like to join us here on Religion Means Alive, give us a call. Our number is 805-727-7013. That's 727-7013. 805 is the area code. And now, the beauty of the Mosque Care, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, which is the host for the 25th Annual Muslim Convention, they always put their information up on the on their website, but also on YouTube. So if you'd like to get access to some of the photographs and some of the video segments from the convention, simply go to youtube.com and and then type in the search, the Mosque Cares. In fact, I encourage you to subscribe to their channel on YouTube, the Mosque Cares. And then, of course, you can get in space and type in the 25th Annual Muslim Convention, and some of the information from the convention will come up. I had the pleasure of speaking to them, or I'm sorry, I had the pleasure of addressing their first Sunday program that we had just this first Sunday. And they related to the guests that were there, as well as to others that they are uploading information, video clips and audio clips from the convention as they go along. They've got much of the photographs, and they got many of the photographs and some of the video up on the either up on YouTube or on their site. But they continue to work on it to get more and more up. So I encourage you to go to YouTube.com and type in the Mosque Cares. Subscribe to the Mosque Cares channel and get some of the latest information they have up from the convention. As I say, again, fantastic convention. And I know that it's that if you go there and check out some of that video, I'm certain you will be you will find that it was an enjoyable time had by all. So I'm kind of waiting for our guest to call in for this evening, but until she calls, let me relate to you one of the important meetings that I conducted at the convention. We had an opportunity to have our first national business meeting for the New Africa Buying Network. And it was an excellent meeting. Got excellent feedback from the individuals who attended the meeting. And I'd like to announce also, since we're on the subject of the New Africa Buying Network, that our second national conference call meeting. Well, we will conduct that on tomorrow, which is Tuesday. It'll be 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, and I will get that number for you for all of those who may be interested in joining us on the conference call. The conference call is open to anyone who's interested in the New Africa Buying Network, and I want to I'll tell you a little bit about the network, and then if you'd like to join us, you are absolutely welcome to do so. Let me first give you the conference dial-in number, and this will be for the conference call meeting of the New Africa Buying Network. It'll be tomorrow, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. The dial-in number is area code 857, and the number is 232-0159, 232-0159. And the code, the conference code, access code is 928-997. And that's what you'll put in when you after you dial the number, 928-997, and you will be brought into the, into the meeting. The New Africa Buying Network is essentially a network that has incorporated the concept of collective buying. But it's collective buying for small businesses. In fact, you have to be a business in order to be able to join the network. You must be a business or a nonprofit organization to be able to join the network. But it's a network designed to harness that power of collective buying. But for businesses, business meeting that we had at the convention, I was able to share with those individuals who were attending to the meeting some information about the buying network and what the real focus of the network is. The network is only designed to serve the needs of the member businesses. So, in fact, the motto of the network is, we are in business for your business. We are in business for your business. So, truly, the buying network is set up to bring the business and the rich businesses together who agree to work together. There's a membership fee, a yearly membership fee, one to just to join, and then after the first year, it drops down to half the amount what it costs to join. And the cost to join it for businesses is $200. For nonprofit organizations, it's $175. And after 1 year, businesses only to continue their membership only pay $100, and then nonprofit organizations, they pay $75 to continue their membership. And the focus of the buying network is to allow members to identify products that they sell that they would like to, with other members of the network, to purchase, work with them to purchase, and, in fact, the goal is to purchase them and get them to each member business at or below wholesale. That's at or below wholesale. So with that in mind, it is our goal to bring businesses from all across the country together under this network and to identify products that we want to purchase, to go out and purchase those products directly from manufacturers or from the or from those manufacturer reps, and to bring those goods, those products in to be sold by our respective businesses, but for the businesses to get them at below, with all possible, the goal is to get them below what they could get from the local wholesaler in the area where they have to operate their business, to get them at or below wholesale. And of course, if we're able to do this, it would allow the member businesses to compete much more strongly their competition, other respective businesses in their areas that they're conducting their business in. So with that, that's just a thumbnail sketch of the New Africa Buying Network. As I say, we'll have our second national conference call meeting tomorrow. That's Tuesday, September 9th, at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And let me repeat the conference call dial-in number in code. The dial-in number is 857-232-0159, and the code is 928-997. Okay. I'll give that information to you again before we leave the air. But now, while we're still waiting on our guests to give us a call, let me bring to the listeners of Religion Means Alive, to our listening audience, some information that I hope will be applicable to many of our listening audience, I know as a business person, I use these tools and I use them in my business. And that's a wireless communications, commonly referred to as cell phones. I use other communication technology, such as, of course, there's a laptop, and I use a tablet computer. But what I want to give attention to now is cell phones. And I don't know if many in our radio audience realize that the wireless business, the wireless business industry, they have changed their business model. This change has really come about because of competition. And that's why it's so important to have competition out there. What has happened here, when I first purchased my cell phone, you purchase a cell phone and the service all together. In fact, when you go to a cell phone company like AT&T or Verizon, of course, it asks you what phone you like, but you usually pay some amount of money down for your phone. In my experience, as an example, I've had an iPhone for the last 3 or 4 years, and I always paid $200, $195, about $200 as a down payment on the phone, and the rest of the phone payments were incorporated into my service plan. And that's why you were required to assign a contract. And for the most part, most of the carriers, it was a 2-year contract. And you signed that contract, and then after that 2-year period, you could then trade and get another phone if you like. If you didn't, even if you were with the, even though the contract had been completed, you didn't have to renew another contract, you just played month to month. But you paid the same amount of money that you paid when you first purchased your phone. The amount of money for the for your service plan didn't go down. Then, of course, with the spirit of competition, T-Mobile introduced in the marketplace the ability to purchase your phone separate from the service contract. I mean, you could purchase your phone separate from where you purchase your service for your texting and your data. And they went even a step further and will allow you to bring a phone if it's already been purchased, as long as you can operate it on the T-Mobile's operate on their service, on their technology, on their network. If your phone was already paid for, you just brought the phone, they put it onto their network, and then you just paid for your service plan. Because of this innovation that T-Mobile has introduced into the marketplace, of course, AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon had to follow suit. And as a consequence, I brought this information into the to my first Sunday program yesterday at the Mosqueas, and now I want to share it with the listeners here on Religion Means a Life. I think it's extremely important because what you don't want to do is pay more for your service and phone than you have to, particularly the phone. You don't want to pay more for it than you have to. And so let me just kind of go through what has changed. And no matter what the names of the plans are. It is how those plans operate that you want to be most conscious of. And that is that all of them now, you can purchase your phone separate from your service plan. So let me first lay out T-Mobile. Since they introduced this innovation and they're really shaking up the wireless industry, let me relate to this first. Then let me simply say this. I am not a T-Mobile customer at this time. I'm not currently a T-Mobile customer, so don't really want to think I'm just pushing T-Mobile. But I do like it when there's strong competition in the marketplace because it benefits the consumer. And because I use wireless technology in my business, these are essential tools for me. I want to make sure that I share this information with as many people as I can so that they're not paying more than they need to pay for their phones. Now, T-Mobile calls their plan simply their Simple Choice plan. And what it is based on the phone that you decide that you want to purchase, the phone will cost you between $25 or more, with those payments broken up over 24 months. Of course, if you cancel the service before those 24 months are up, of course, then you have to pay the remaining balance for the phone. And so if your service plan is a $50 plan, and, of course, you're paying $25 for your device, for your phone, that means your monthly cost is $75. And they have different plans. Some start at $50 and they go up. But the key thing is the phone. And based on the type of phone you get, they tell you exactly how much the phone costs, what the per month payment will be on the phone broken out over 24 months. And if you'd like to pay it ahead of time, I mean, if you want to pay the phone off sooner, you can. The sooner you pay the phone off, that part of your bill is eliminated, and then all you're paying for is your service. That is your data and, of course, your text, your cellular and data service. So there's a cost. There's a big plan. It's called the Simple Choice Plan. But the important thing is what you're able to do. Now, after the 24 months, if you want to trade the phone in and get a new phone, or if you want to just keep your phone and get a new phone, just sell that phone. The phone is paid for. You do with it what you like. But they'll also allow you to trade the phone in for a better phone if you like before the 24 months is up. And they'll work out what's left on the phone. And if you turn it in, they'll wipe out what balance left on the phone, and then you'll start your plan with the new phone. Okay, so again, there's what's called the Simple Choice Plan. And I just want to, anybody out there who is a T-Mobile customer, I just want to applaud T-Mobile for introducing this innovation into the marketplace. Because until T-Mobile came along with this, you didn't have this kind of options with the big four carriers. You just didn't have that kind of option. All right, now, let's go to AT&T. Of course, AT&T, they call this AT&T Next. Just the name of the plan, but the important thing is how it works. Now, their plan, they have it broken out for a 12-month plan or an 18-month plan. And based on the phone that you purchase, they allow you to pay a payment such as, and they just have an example here, but let's suppose you paid a payment over 12 months. When you first purchased the phone, you pay the sales tax on the phone, but there's no activation fee and there's no upgrade fee if you decide you want to upgrade within and after that 12-month period, or, as I said, they have also the 18-month period. The monthly installment will be a little different based on okay. Well, as technology goes, for some reason I just got cut out. I was broadcasting here, talking here, and all of a sudden the phone just went dead. So I apologize for the callers. I hope that you're still there. I'm looking. I see some people are still there, still connected. I apologize for the break in our show. Let me continue. I was talking about the cell phone plans where the industry has changed, and I wanted to bring this information to the listeners of Religion Meets Live so that overcharge, which on your cell phone phones and plans for the next time you decide to upgrade. And so I had just related the information about T-Mobile, and I was saying that T-Mobile was the innovator here. They were the one to introduce the concept where you could pay for your phone separate from your from your service. And because of their innovations, the whole industry has changed their business model just to keep up. And I wanted to applaud T-Mobile for doing it. I'm not absolutely sure when we got disconnected on air. So let me just relate T-Mobile's plan. They refer to it as a simple choice plan. What they do is, based on the phone that you purchase, they'll set a price for that device. It can be $25, $30, or whatever. But they'll set a price for that device, and they will divide it up over a 24-month period. And so that after those 24 months are up, and you made your payments each month, the phone, the device is paid for, and then you can only then, if you decide you continue to go with that particular phone, all you have left to pay is just your monthly service plan. Phone is paid for, and so your monthly price, your monthly payments will be reduced. You can pay the phone off sooner if you like. You don't have to stay within the 24 months. You can pay it off sooner if you like. And but the good thing is it allows you to pay for your phone separate from your service. If you have a phone that works on T-Mobile's works on their network, and you want to bring that phone to their network, they'll bring the phone onto the network. The phone's paid for, of course. Then the only thing you're buying is their service. And based on the service plan that you want, you pay for that service plan. So this is truly an innovation in the operation of the wireless industry. And this innovation, of course, since it was introduced by T-Mobile, in order for the other wireless carriers, I refer to them as the other big three, to compete, they had to follow suit. And so that's what's going on now. I want to use my personal experience in the purchase of a phone as an example. As I said before, I've had an iPhone for the last 6 years, and I've been to a couple of carriers, AT&T, and now I'm currently with Verizon. So let me tell you about AT&T's plan here. They can refer to theirs as this new operating environment now. They refer to their plan as AT&T Next. But don't get caught up, hung up on the name. Let's just look at how it operates. They have a 12-month plan where you can trade in your phone after 12 payments. And then they have an 18-month plan or 18-payment plan where you can trade in your phone after 18 payments. And if you trade in the phone, then, of course, you can then get another phone, new phone. And they will absolve you of any balance on the phone that you trade in, and you'll start over your payments on the new phone. This is really good for those people who want to have the most latest equipment and maybe want to trade up before 24 months. But now, this is what AT&T offers. They offer the 12-payment plan, the 18-payment plan, or the 2-year contract. And the initial amount that you have to pay when you get the 12-month plan from the phone is zero, but you pay for the taxes. And that's for the 12-month or the 18-payment plan. Now, of course, this is if you got the, they call this, they call it well-qualified individual, so you have to have good credit. Or they may have you put down a small down payment, but they'll still work with you on purchasing the phone. Or they still offer the 2-year contract where you pay $199.99, just say $200 for the phone. And then the activation fee. For the 12-payment plan or the 18-payment plan, there's no fee. But for the 2-year contract, there's a $40 fee. Upgrade fee. If you upgrade on the 12-payment plan, there's no fee. The 18-payment plan, there's no fee. But at the end of the 2-year contract, if you decide to upgrade your phone, when you upgrade to a phone, there's a $40 fee. So what they're really saying here is that they're only offering the 12 payment or the 18 payment, and you turn the phone back in to them to get the next phone, new phone, or a 2-year contract. But, of course, after 24 months, if you decide to even keep the phone, price of your service plan, it stays the same. All you did was put $199 or $200 down on the phone, and after the contract is up, if you just put it and go inside of the contract, you still have to negotiate a service plan. And if that's a plan that you like and you see the value of, I would say then go ahead and check out AT&T. The important thing is, though, is that they also allow you to pay for your phone separate from your service agreement plan. All of them say now, of course, that if you cancel the service before the end of the payment period, whichever one you choose, 24 months, 12 months, or 18 months, then they're going to you have to pay the balance that's owed on for the phone. Now, Sprint's plan is they call theirs the easy pay plan. And it works essentially the same. They take the cost of the phone, whichever one you want to purchase from them, and they divide that cost over 24 months. And, of course, the customer pays the same amount for 23 months, and the balance is due on the final payment on the 24th month. You pay for the balance of the phone. Then after that, all you're paying for, or all you need to pay for, is the service. If you stay with Sprint, and they refer to theirs as the Easy Pay Plan. Again, this innovation is just really excellent. It allows you as a customer, just like myself, particularly those of us who use our phones in business, it gives them an opportunity to pay for the phone, get the payment for the phone either way, right, and then just pay for your service. The last plan I want to relate on this is Verizon. Now, Verizon calls theirs Verizon Edge. It's just a plan with similar components to the plan. Easy monthly payments. Now, they do theirs. They split the cost of the payment of the phone into 20 monthly payments. Of course, as they say, it allows you to upgrade faster if you want. There's no upgrade or activation fee on this particular plan. And then based on the data plan that you select, they give you a break on the data plan if based on how many phones you have on your plan. Again, if you have not traded up on your cell phone, this will probably be the best time to do so. If you're looking to get a new phone, I would say look at these plans from these four carriers, as well as some of the other carriers that are competing. Some of them just don't have some of the latest phones. And again, it's based on what your interest is. As I said, I use my phone for business, and I'll travel all over the country, and then even outside of the country I'll be traveling. And so I know the type of service and the type of phones that I need, and I need one dependable, reliable. And I found the, just speaking from personal experience, I found the iPhone from Apple to be the best for me. It serves my purposes in a fantastic way. So I for those of you who also follow Apple and use Apple products, you'll know tomorrow Apple will be coming out with their introduction of what's going to be next. But they'll be rolling out for the fall. And, of course, there's been a lot of rumors about the new iPhone 6. I, for one, will be greatly interested in what that phone is going to look like and what it's going to have, because it will be time for me to upgrade. My contract will be up in November, and so I will definitely be upgrading my phone to the iPhone 6. The key thing with me, now, as I say, I've been with Verizon for the last 4 years, but I'm going to be giving these other carriers a very good look. The other service a very good look, with the exception of AT&T. I do not plan to go back to them. So really, I'm probably going to only get one real good look, and that's probably going to be T-Mobile. Or stay with Verizon, but I will be upgrading. And so I really wanted to give the listeners on Religion Means Alive, wanted to give you an update on these changes in the wireless industry so that it can help you make good decisions for yourself, particularly those of you who are like me who use your phones for business. And you want to take advantage of the best deals out there. And the most reliable service. So if there are any questions, and you know, anytime there are any questions for those who are already listening to us on the program, you should need to dial 1 on your telephone, and you'll come right into the queue, to the host queue, and I'll put you on to share whatever your comments you have with the other listeners here on Religion Means a Lot. And or then for those who are maybe not aware of us, or some of your friends, but you feel that you can tell them to give us a call. Call us here at Religion Means a Lot. Our dial-in number is 805-727-7013. And also, as those of you who listened for the last couple of months that I've been able to co-host, I've given out my Twitter handle, because I would like for those who would like, certainly, to send you a tweet about anything that they heard on the show, or any questions they have regarding the show, and if it's appropriate, I'll be glad to read those tweets online while the show is going on. Anyway, my Twitter handle is @Akbar1. That's @AKBARONE, @Akbar1. And I will be more than happy to read your tweets and share information with the other listeners here on Religion Means a Lot. All right, so I will check and see if our guest has, I don't see that she's called in as yet. So I know I checked with her on yesterday, and she said that she was looking forward to her joining us. Let's hope that she will before we get off the show. All right. So now, while we're waiting for her to call, we can go into the next segment. I've shared with you information about cell phone. Now, I think this information that I'm about to share with you is also quite timely, pertinent, very valuable. This was also part of my presentation to my first Sunday audience at the Mosque Cares on yesterday. And it was a whole presentation around securing your data, how to secure your data, try to keep your data safe no matter what you're doing, your personal data, your personal information. Of course, I know that many of you have heard in the news recently what has occurred to some of the celebrities who had their personal photos, particular photos that they had taken using their phones, had their personal photos taken and placed on a website for people to see. And of course, the photos weren't taken for that purpose, but some hackers hacked into the servers of the of Apple. It's referred to as iCloud, and it's the service. We're able to get into these particular celebrities' accounts and get access to those photos, even though those photos were taken their phones. Most of them had those photos backed up to their iCloud account. And as a consequence, even if they were deleted off the phone, they still reside on their on the account is just the same way as if they weren't just delete them off the phone, they're not delete them off the iCloud. And so as a consequence, hackers were able to get in, get their password, a login to their password, and so they didn't necessarily hack as an Apple. So they didn't necessarily hack into it. They were able to discover these people's passwords and logins and then get access and gain access to their accounts. And there were several of them. And then, of course, when they got the photograph, many of these were either semi-new or new photographs. They shared them on these websites, other websites they shared them on. And that's just unfortunate. I shared with my audience on yesterday, number one, try never to take information, pictures, documents, anything that would be unflattering to yourself. You don't want to put those documents out into on the servers or anywhere beyond technology that you control. Even though some of the phones, they can put malware on the phone, that they haven't sort of hacked phones, at least we haven't heard about them. But they have broken into and hacked into servers. So information that you put out there, it can be subject to being seen by people who you did not intend that information to be seen by. So number one, try not to put the data out there. First, try not even engage in taking pictures or putting documents out that has information that can be compromising to you or unflattering to you, no matter whom you are trying to address it to. Number two, understand that anything that you put up on the internet is subject to being, I don't care how secure they say it is, it's subject to being hacked or taken and misused. So, I related to my audience yesterday that consulting two sources of information, I brought their attention to some things that we can do to just better safeguard our material, our information, personal information. And number one, and above all, is to control that which you can control. Control that which you can control. So if you're using, of course, if you're using your phone, as I just spoke, make sure that to limit viruses and malware, they call it, let me spell that word so you understand me, malware or viruses, to limit this being downloaded onto your phone. Malware is M-A-L-W-A-R-E. To limit that virus is being downloaded onto your phone, when you, if you have a smartphone like I do, when you decide that you want to get an application, to add an application to your phone, make sure you download that application from the site, reputable site where your phone where your phone is attached to. So for to Android phones, which are the majority of phones out there, you download your applications from the Google Play Store. For those who have phones like I do, the iOS, the Apple phone, iPhone, we download our apps from the App Store, the Apple App Store. If you do this, there's a good chance that the, no, not a good chance. Those applications have been screened by Apple, and of course those that are on the Google Play Store, they've been screened by Google, and they're free of viruses and whatever. And so you download them to your phone, you don't have to worry about downloading the virus. So for those who have the Windows phone, the same. You should get your information, get your applications from the Windows Store, the Windows Application Store. So that can help limit your risk of getting anything, virus, anything downloaded to your cell phone, smartphone. And social media, of course, I use social media a lot. I use Twitter and Facebook. And there are other social media platforms out there. Be careful what you upload on social media. If you've decided that you're going to be taking a vacation or you're going to be going away for a while, as they use the example here, it's not a good practice to state before you leave where you're going to be going and how long you're going to be gone, because it makes you more vulnerable. And there may be people who will read that post or that tweet, and they may think that they can then try to burglarize you because you're not going to be there. So be very careful about what you post on the social networks as to where you're going to be going, what friends you're going to be with, how long you're going to be going away, and things such as that. Just limit that amount, that amount of information. So again, something that you can control. So that's on social media. All right, now, in the cloud. Again, when they talk about the cloud, let me just say that there's no data up in the cloud anywhere. They just use the cloud as a euphemism. What they're really speaking about is a service. It's a computer service. And Google, Yahoo, Amazon, Apple, all of these big companies, they either have their own servers, big server farms, huge farms full of computer servers. They either have their own or they lease others to operate their businesses on. And one of the services that I use service is Dropbox. Dropbox and Evernote. I personally use Dropbox, but in the Consumer Reports July 2014 edition of Consumer Reports, where this report is outlined, they really talk about this, and I really want to, let me just read what they have here, because I think it's just important for me to just to read what they laid out here. Widely used cloud services such as Dropbox and Evernote are great for storing files and organizing tasks, but they have a spotty security record. Dropbox has had several breaches over the past few years, and in 2013, a hack attack of Evernote exposed the usernames and email addresses to about 50 million users. And I hope you see the importance of keeping your username and your email private, particularly when you have them together, because sometimes that email, username and email, they get one part of your information, then they can try to see if they can find out what the your password is. And that's how you can get access to your accounts, some of your personal data. Many of it is based on your email address and then your password, so they can get the email address. Or even if you use a username to get into one particular site, if you use that same username another site, and they're able to get a password. That's how they're able to get into some of the other information. This is how Apple believes their celebrities' accounts were hacked or gain access to them on the iCloud. So it's important to try to store only information there that you don't, that's not of a compromising nature using in the cloud. And if you can avoid using it, if you store private information on a cloud-based service, encrypt it with a free encryption program such as TrueCrypt. And this is an encryption program that is free. You can get it at, and here's the website. It's TrueCrypt. That's TrueCrypt.org. And if you'd like to go and check that out, this is what they lay out here in the article. All right. So the key thing is you just don't want hackers to be able to easily get access to your data. All right. So they continue in this in the report, and here's another area where many of us can find ourselves vulnerable. And so let me bring it to our readers' attention, our listeners' attention, sorry. They have this little excerpt they refer to it in the report as while having a coffee. Well, what they really mean is while you may be in a coffee shop, like a Starbucks or a Caribou or another coffee house, where many of them offer what they refer to as free Wi-Fi. And even though they offer free Wi-Fi at many of these services, the Wi-Fi and these coffee shops and places like that are not that secure. So what you want to be very careful of is when using those networks, not conducting sensitive types of operations like accessing your bank account and other sensitive information like that over those what they refer to as open Wi-Fi networks or what they call public Wi-Fi networks. That kind of operation, you should only do at your on your home network, which is and that you know, hopefully that all of us have make sure that we secure our home networks and encrypt it with good encryption. I would certainly encourage all the listeners here on the radio program, Religion Means Alive, to make sure that you do have your home wireless network, a Wi-Fi network, to make sure that it does have a password that is encrypted. No one can just log in and use your network or get access to information on your network. Now, also, and this is one of the things that I found that's very helpful for me, my favorite place of doing business when I'm not at home is at places like our Starbucks. I usually ask them, where's the closest Starbucks if I'm going to have a meeting with some business clients or individual interested in being clients. I like to meet at a Starbucks. I like the atmosphere, but I don't use their Wi-Fi. I use my own. And before I simply just changed and discovered that I had a personal hotspot on my phone, I had a separate Wi-Fi device that I use with a service, and where I could connect up to a 10 people on it. Just a portable Wi-Fi device. Now that service cost me $62 a month. But then I found out that in my phone, my service provider offered personal Wi-Fi where I could use my own cellular phone and use the data on my cell phone, but connect my iPad or my laptop and connect it that way. They refer to that term as tethered, tethering it. That way, I had the service that I was already paying for. There was no additional cost. So you know what I did. I contacted the service provider and let them know I didn't need the portable hotspot anymore. Now, that portable hotspot was called, the service for it was costing me over $700 a month. $7 a year. So just by canceling that particular part of the service and just keeping the home internet, I saved over $700 and just using my cell phone. So I would encourage all of the listeners here on Religion News Live, if you need to use your laptop or if you have a tablet like I do in a public setting, outside your home setting, check to see if you have a personal Wi-Fi on your phone. Many services offer that. I know T-Mobile does. I know Verizon does. So check and see. And I also know AT&T does. And based on your service plan, you may have it and it doesn't cost you any additional money to use it. And in this way, by using that connection, you don't have to use the public Wi-Fi. And it's about conducting business that way. Individuals who would like to try to get access to your personal information while you're conducting business. I would still encourage you not to, even that way, I would encourage you not to conduct sensitive banking business and other sensitive business on the public. If you can avoid it, try to conduct that kind of business on your home Wi-Fi network. So, the last information I'd like to bring to your attention is, again, an area where we have control, and that is selecting passwords. Selecting passwords for the various applications that are required. I don't care if online, if you're banking, your email. In my instance, I operate two or three websites where they're password protected, and operate some other entities that require passwords. The stronger the password, the more secure your information is in terms of your getting access, and the less chance of someone like a hacker getting access to your information. And so you want to have a strong password. And they lay out some examples here in this article. Of course, it starts from the most, what many people are referred to in the article, just a plain lazy till memorable, almost impenetrable a password. This information I think is so important that I want to relate it to our listeners and again give you some suggestions. This segment of the report is referred to as a field guide to passwords. And now I quote, "Passwords are your first line of defense. Password is rather like a key that opens a door," says Matt Bishop, professor of computer science at the University of California at Davis. If you pick a poor password, then anyone can gain access to your accounts. To be strong, it should be long, complex, and use symbols, letters, and numbers. That can make a password tough to remember, but a few tricks can make it easier. Here's a guide to help. In the layout, this guide, and I would like to relate it to you, and of course, this is, as I relate this to you, I will try to give it to you in such a way where you can imagine, and you can kind of write down, note what's being said. The first one here they just have is what they say, just a plain lazy. This password, if someone just gives that password, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In this day and time, most applications would not accept a password that's all numbers or all letters. So they want a combination of both. And then most of them now would tell you that the minimum length has to be 8 characters. So it has to be 8 characters long. But they just know what it takes for some hackers to break in and to beat the password. For a password like that, first is just too plain. And again, most places I won't allow you to put a password in like that. Now, the next they have is one that's far too personal. And this person has a password with the first name and 2 numbers behind it. Again, it's got to be 8 characters long. But even if it's 8 characters long, Joe 64 or Joe 6445, it's just not, as they say here, just a little bit too personal. And particularly if the person's nickname is Joe, it would be too easy for it to be defeated. So, next bullet they lay out is one that they refer to as complex. Now, this is a complex password, but as they say here, it may be a little too complex. And the password here, as an example, is lowercase m, uppercase c, the numbers 497, uppercase x, lowercase v, and then the exclamation point. Now, it's complex, but it may be a little too complex. In terms of the analysis, what they say here is, this one is tough to crack. It means absolutely nothing, but has at least 8 characters in a mix of punctuation, numbers, and uppercase and lowercase letters. But it's almost impossible to remember one for each account you own if you use that type of a password. So the last bullet, the last entry is memorable yet almost impenetrable. And the password is laid out as this. This is the example they use. The symbol actually just commas. So the password starts with one, with 4 commas. 4 commas, lowercase m, the at sign, the dollar sign, lowercase e, uppercase r, the number 1, the number 0, lowercase k, a few more, 4 more commas, and then 1. And let me read you how they explain this particular password. This password pads your password. A real phrase spelled with symbols, with easy to remember punctuation and a number. It's easy to vary from one site to another. Now they say, now go create a few of these for your own accounts, but don't reuse ours. They're saying don't reuse these because certainly somebody will know what they are. I agree with this particular password, making one memorable, but one that's possibly impenetrable or very difficult to hack. But most hackers, when they try to hack, they try to do what they call a brute force attack hack, they go to words in the dictionary, or they go to personal words that may be in your name or in your children's name, things like that. They may gain access to your Facebook account, Facebook pages, information that you put on your Facebook page, and think that you may have used some of that for your passwords. So I would encourage you to begin a password with three or four symbols, whatever symbols you want to use. It could be the at symbol, it could be an exclamation point, it can be a comma, as they hear. But begin with a symbol, and then use a name or a word that is important to you. But of course, just use upper and lowercase letters with it. You can take the word Islam and make that the middle, you know, uppercase I, L, A, and the rest is lowercase. And then add a number, whatever number you like to add to it. And then a few more symbols to make it at least 8 characters long. And then what you can do is just a variation of that password. You can continue to use Islam if you want to, but you just do variations of it with different characters, special characters in front, different characters in the back of the name, and numbers. And that's just an example. But this is one of the ways that you can use to really strengthen your password. And based on where you're using it, it could be memorable. Now, one of the things I do, and I can give you an example of what I do, I use passwords like that. But what I do, because it's difficult for me to remember all of them, I do keep the I put my passwords to connect them to different fields in my contact list. Now, some of you say, oh, that's a bad thing to do. Well, no, I don't call the field, I don't call the contact password. I connect it to various contacts, and I know what those I know what they are. And then I don't actually put the whole password there. I just put part of it there. And I have special characters that I use with certain passwords. So I know when I see that password, I know what characters I put in, what characters I put in back. All I got to do is remember the special characters. I have to remember the whole password. And so I don't put the full password in the contact list. I put just a portion of it. But the special characters I don't put there. So if I happen to forget a password, I need a password, I go to my contact list and I see the portion of the password, I say, okay, I know. And then I look at, okay, I know what special characters are going to go in front of it, back of it. I add those special characters in front and back, and then I have my password. Also, I change my passwords once a month. They tell you to change your password. One of the things that we do is we keep a password and we get so used to it, we keep it too long. And even though it's easy for us to remember, for those who are trying to break into your accounts and get access to your information, it makes it much easier for them, too, if you keep that same password for such a long period of time. Now, the many of the sites have become much more sophisticated. In fact, the question was asked of Apple, why didn't Apple have what they call what they have introduced now on many sites. And they kind of wondering why Apple didn't have it introduced on their site. My bank has introduced it on their site. And, of course, now our bank, one of my banks I bank with is Chase. And if you notice in the recent news, hackers were able to even break into and get access to Chase. They didn't get, from what I understand, they weren't able to get that far into their information to their servers. But they were able to break in and gain access to them. And Chase is working with, if they reported they were working with the Secret Service and FBI, whatever, to try to find out how they were even able to get in as far as they were able to get. But they, of course, they assured the customers that they were not able to get into any information, and they weren't able to compromise any customer's account. But they refer to this as what they call two-factor authentication. They refer to it as two-factor authentication. And how this works, and I know how it works with the Chase of the bank. If you go in and you attempt to get into your account a number of times and you're not able to get in, they lock the account out. Or if you log in with the incorrect password and then you ask to change your password because you've forgotten the password, what they then will tell you is they'll send you a link to get a new password to your cell phone or to a number that you've given them. And once you receive that, then you go in and change your password. Then they'll send you another number. They'll say, okay, this is an access number. And you have to put that number in along with the new password. And that would be the only way that you can access the account. And that's what they call two-factor authentication. So you can see how this can work to help safeguard you even more than just one password. In order for someone to actually hack into your account, they'd have to not only have you be able to discover your login and password, but they'd also have to have your cell phone where the application is going to text you another key, which it can be a series of numbers or whatever, to log into your particular account. All right? So that two-factor authentication is just another way to help safeguard your accounts. Also, one of the things that Apple does, I know, when you change your password to Apple, they send a text to your phone stating, letting you know that it had been changed. And if you did not make the change, let them know right away so they could limit their access to the account. All of these things they put in place to try to help you keep your data, your secrets, your personal information as safe as possible. But it's like anything, safety begins with you first. Remember, safety begins with you. So you have to take the initiative. I wanted to share this information with you. I hope the listeners here on Religion Means Alive will see the value of what I was able to bring to you today. We have a little time left, and I certainly want to open the opportunity for any of our listeners. If you have questions that you would like to ask, give us a call, feel free to do so. Again, if you're already listening online, just hit the number one, and you'll come into the host queue, and I can put you on. Or those who want to share with their what they've heard to some friends, and their friends may have a question, encourage them to give us a call. They can call us at area code 805. The number is 727-7013. That's 727-7013. Or, as I said, they can tweet. Send me a tweet. Twitter.com. And my Twitter handle is at Akbar1. That's at AKBARONE. I have my Twitter account up open. I'm looking here, and I do not see any tweets from Religion Means Alive customers as of yet. So we have a few minutes left. Let me now then, as we kind of wind down, we have a few minutes left, let me give you a little information and encourage you to support this program, Religion Means Alive. As you know, the host of this program, Imam Alfred Muhammad, has created this program to share with the listening audience all the great work and the history of the leaders of the, at one time, was referred to as the Nation of Islam, and as we went through its iterations, the mosque here. But the Nation of Islam is founded, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and after his passing, his son took over, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. And then, of course, as he just made his transition, his son has taken over his work to continue the work of his father and of his grandfather. And that's through the entity that his father created, and that's the Mosque's Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So the program is one that I look forward to coming on the second Monday of each month. And but the program can only exist with your support. Your support, both participating and then your financial support, is what makes the program what it is. So let me encourage you that please send contributions to continue the work of this program, Religion Means Alive. You send your contributions to Imam Alfred Muhammad, and his address is 817 Jackson Avenue, Linder, New Jersey. And that's area code 07036. And I know Imam Alfred would be really appreciative of any of the support that you can give to this great program, Religion Means Alive. Now, unfortunately, I guess our guest was not able to join us on this segment of the program. I did not hear from her. I don't know if she ran into a problem. We hope that things worked out all right. It's my hope that I will have, I'm looking forward to having another guest the next time I share this microphone with you. I've got another dynamic entertainer in his own right, and I don't want to say who it's going to be just yet because I want to confirm that he's going to be here, and I want to state he's going to be here, and he's unable to make it. But as you know, technology and business, and even though I have guests on who are from the music and entertainment industry, believe you me, both of them are strong business people. Both of them are accomplished business people. And I'm certain that they can bring some great insights to the to their business, to their business of entertainment, and share with the Religion Means a Live audience how they have grown and developed, and then also share with the audience where they can have an opportunity to see, go and see them perform. With that, we have about a couple of minutes left. I hope that what I've been able to present to the audience today has been of interest to the audience, been helpful to the audience, been somewhat educational. If you did not have an opportunity to call in, during the show, remember that even after we go offline, you can send me a tweet and let me know what you thought about this show. Give me your comments. You can send those to me at twitter.com@Akbar1. Let's go to twitter.com@Akbar1. I'll just send information, some posts on the Religion Means Alive Facebook page. I'm certain that Imam Abu Muhammad will be more than happy to hear from you, as I will. So with that, my dear audience, again, thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me to co-host, this excellent program, Religion Means Alive. And I pray the Creator allows me to join you again the next Monday in October. Until that time, I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. May the Creator's peace be with you.